Okay, good evening, everyone. We'll make a start. Thank you very much for coming along, and welcome to our Key Stage 4 Curriculum Information Evening. Just a couple of housekeeping things before we begin. As is usually the case, we're not expecting the fire alarm to sound during this event, but if it does, you'll certainly recognise the sound. Just please make your way out in an orderly fashion, just back through the doors of student entrance that you came in. So if you've been to one of these previously with your child in an earlier year group, you'll know the format. If you've not been to one of these, then it's an opportunity for us at the beginning of the academic year to share with you some really important details about the journey that your child is going to be on, whether your child's in year 10 or year 11, and what that's going to look like in terms of some key core subjects, plus the overall teaching and learning and curriculum that they will follow. So you can see there the items that we're going to be including in tonight's presentation, and the members of staff on my left will be presenting them, and they'll be the experts in their field will be presenting the relevant items. So we've got a lot to get through, so I'm going to be really brief. Just further from me is to just, for you know, the sake of your child, and you know, if the children are here tonight, just to look ahead to what they are aiming for at the end of Key Stage 4, so when they do reach the end of year 11. And they'll have a wealth of experiences during that time that will enrich them, but I think tonight we're really focusing on their preparation for their GCSEs and the other qualifications that they will be taking. And as we do every year, we had our results day in the summer, and it was a really fantastic event, lots of very happy faces as children opened their exam results. And we do have a tradition at school where we invite in a little early some children who've done particularly well, either in terms of the grades they've attained or the progress that they've made with us since they joined us in year 7. But I think what all those children who had happy faces when they opened their envelopes, the thing that they had in common was that they've all worked really hard during year 10 and year 11. And I think, you know, particularly if whichever state, if they're your to really achieve their potential. So we're going to be explaining how we as educators are going to support them on that journey, but also we'll be making it clear what we expect from them, and talk a little bit about how you can help them as parents. And we will promise there will be other events and other information that we'll share with you throughout the year, so that you can really support your child, so that they achieve their best and work hard, not just in school, but also out of school, and get into those really good independent study habits as well. And once again this year, we were really proud of the overall results that we achieved as a school. And you know, we're looking to build on them even further as we move forward. So with our current year 11 group and our current year 10 cohort as well, we're looking for them to achieve even higher than their predecessors have at the school. Okay, so I'll now pass to Miss Catlow, who's our deputy head teacher in charge of quality of education, to talk about the broad curriculum that your children will be studying at school.
Good evening. It's lovely to see you all. Thank you for making the effort to come out. As Mr. Craig said, tonight it's just a bit of an overview to give you some broad piece of information about your child's experience in school, how that might be slightly different at Key Stage 4 to Key Stage 3. We are looking to plan more events, as Mr. Craig said, and also thinking ahead to next year how we can do things differently. So at the end of the presentation, there will be a QR code that goes up on the screen, and we would invite you to just add your thoughts back via that link has worked about tonight and what could be done differently. So in terms of the curriculum that we offer, our vision is that ultimately we want our young people to leave us having had the highest quality of education for them to achieve their personal excellence. And their personal excellence might be going on to Oxford or Cambridge University in 2 years after they leave us. Their personal excellence might be achieving an apprenticeship. It's whatever they are aiming for that would allow them to achieve highly. And that pathway will be different for everybody. But what is common across all of our students' experience is that we want them to leave with a really strong knowledge base, because we know it is a really strong foundational knowledge across a broad range of subjects that helps to tackle social inequality. We want our students to be able to take a seat at any table and hold their own in any conversation. And that's not about, you know, everybody aiming for nine grade nines, although that would be amazing. It is about every student achieving the very best that they are capable of and then being able to go out there and interact and converse and discuss with anybody else that they meet in order for them to achieve beyond their time at school. And that is what's going to give them the best possible chance of success now, in 2 years' time, in 20, 30 years' time. But ultimately, we wouldn't be doing our job if we just churned out hundreds of students with really great results, but who were not confident, who were not resilient, who were not able to support others, be respectful, be kind, demonstrate those core values that we've got. And so, yes, it is about attaining highly, because they are the passports and the keys onto to lots of options in our children's futures. But it is also about our young people becoming confident, independent, resilient young adults. And ultimately, for us to send our children out from the Radcliffe School able to make a really highly positive contribution to their communities. Some of your children will, in 3-4 years' time, will fly the nest and will go off to live exciting lives in London or America or Manchester or wherever else they may choose to be. But many of them will remain in the communities they're living now and will be the future of those communities. And it is our job to make sure that they're providing a really positive future for their community and the citizens within it. So it is our intent through our curriculum to provide a curriculum that is purposeful, that is rich, that is broad, that is balanced, and that provides this deep subject knowledge across a range of subjects. So at Key Stage 3, students study the full range of subjects, and at Key Stage 4, we try and keep those options as wide as possible. Every student has access to every option subject. Not every student gets their first choices, which we'll talk about a little bit later, because of limited numbers, but every student has access to them. We do not put limits on which students can choose which subjects, like many schools do. Our curriculum is designed for students to acquire and retain the core knowledge, and that word retain is incredibly important, because actually one of the things that we need to work on, we help as a community to retain, and as families supporting our students, is how we help our students to retain the knowledge that they are taught. Some of you will be sat here as the parents of students in year 10 who are just beginning their GCSE courses, and they're going to be taught an awful lot of knowledge that they will need to remember at the end of year 11 that they will be examined on. And because of the constraints of the curriculum and the amount of knowledge that we are expected to teach and that we want to share, there is not time to reteach that knowledge in year 11. And so Miss Arnold's going to talk to you in a little while about the importance of revision, and that starting now, because it is actually the retention of that knowledge, that ability to call on knowledge that the students learned a month ago, 6 months ago, 12 months ago, that will see them be really successful at GCSE. So yes, working hard in class is incredibly important, and Mrs. Robinson's going to talk to you about teaching and learning at school in a few minutes, but actually it's what goes on outside the classroom that will really cement that knowledge and make students successful when they come to the GCSE exams in year 11. And again, we talked about it being more than just attainment in academic subjects. It is about those broader range of skills, such as the development of literacy and numeracy, and also the spiritual, moral, social, and cultural development of our students that will allow us to help them become really well-rounded individuals who can go off and be successful in whatever way they choose to be. So just in terms of the organisation of our curriculum, so you're aware of how things are set up, in English and in maths and in science, students will be set at Key Stage 4 based on their attainment at Key Stage 3. And if you are a parent of a year 10 student in particular, that will be very different to your experience previously, because although those students have been set, these now are set for the GCSEs and will be fixed for the 2 years. In English, as Mr. Kurt will talk to you about, there are no tiers for the exams. Every student will sit the same paper. So it is about us ensuring that we stretch our students to aspire to achieve the highest grades, but also that we support them in that, particularly if they are needing that extra little bit of scaffolding at the beginning of their studies. In maths and in science, apologies for the picture, there are tiers to the exams, and those decisions will be made closer to year 11, but there is a foundation tier which will allow students to attain up to a grade five, and then the higher tier which will allow students to attain up to a grade nine. If students have the aspiration to achieve grade five and beyond, then they really need to be thinking about how hard they're working now in order to demonstrate and access that knowledge at that higher level to be able to access the higher tier qualification in year 11. We also have the separate sciences where students study for the three individual sciences of biology, chemistry, physics, which Mr. Watson will talk to you about in a little while. And they are mixed attainment classes because that option, as I talked about, the freedom of students to choose, that option is open to every student. So in year nine, when the options were being chosen, students of any attainment level could choose separate sciences, will be given access to that qualification. But it does mean that our classes are mixed attainment, which means we've got students learning from each other as well. And again, they are tiered exams with access to the higher grades being up to grade nine on the higher tier. In addition to those subjects, your students will be in PE classes, which are single gender mixed attainment. And again, apologies for me covering that word with the picture. I will fix it before it goes online. Students also study personal development, which are in mixed attainment classes. And both of those subjects, PE and personal development, are non-examination. So they still have access to these really important subjects, but there will not be a GCSE subject taken in them at the end of year 11. And then there are four option subjects, and those classes are mostly mixed attainment. And you can see there in terms of the access, the time access that students have for each subject, that is how we allocate the curriculum time across Key Stage 4. So we have 8 hours for English and Maths per fortnight, 9 for Science, 2 for Personal Development, 3 for PE, and then 5 in each of the four option subjects, which again is more time than some schools allocate to options. So we are really generous with our time because we want students to achieve highly in those subjects that they have themselves have chosen, but it still means that there is work expected outside of the classroom in order for that retention and that practice to take place. Finally from me, can I just direct you to our website? There's some really comprehensive information there to add to what you will hear tonight in the curriculum section, and you can explore a bit further our vision and our intent, and also exactly what your children are studying. The other pages up there that are really important, if I just direct you to that fourth one down, which is the GCSE and equivalent qualifications specifications. In there will be the specification for each of the subjects that your children are studying at Key Stage 4. And there will also, for each subject, be a link to the exam board past papers that are online. If there are any issues with those links, so sometimes the exam boards do change those addresses as they're updating the websites. If you do find you're trying to access those papers and you are struggling, please do get in touch with us because we can then go through and update those links. But it does mean that you will have access up to and including last year's exam papers. So this summer's won't be there yet, but up to including last summer will be all of the past papers, mark schemes and examiners' reports for the subjects that our students are studying. And you can download them and print them from the exam directly from the exam board websites. If you need any guidance, or if you're looking for something in particular and you can't find it, please do get in touch with us and we'll be happy to help. And then the very last thing, just to give you some prior warning, we do conduct formal internal examinations. We have one round of them in year 10 and two in year 11. We call them our pre-public examinations, traditionally known as mocks. They allow us to have a snapshot of how well students are doing, and that informs our teaching from that point forward. But they're also a really important experience for students to understand how it feels to go through those exams and to learn how they need to conduct themselves. Because when we get to the final exam, students get it right, because we don't want there to be any detrimental impact on their results if they don't get it right in those final exams. We sit either full GCSE papers or very rigorous SMART papers that we've adapted so that students are never assessed on something they've not already been taught. But it is really important that students are revising now for those exams, because they will come around very, very quickly. So the dates are up there. This presentation will go online, and the dates will also be online as well. But as always, if you've got any questions further to this, please do get in touch, and we'll be more than happy to help. So I'm now going to pass to Mrs. Robinson, who's one of our assistant head teachers who leads on learning and teaching.
Good afternoon, everybody. So I'm just going to do a few short slides with you about our offer for learning and teaching at the school and what your child can expect in their lessons. And as Miss Catlow said, if you've got any questions at the end, please come and speak to me. I've been more than happy to go through anything more with you. So firstly, you know, learning and teaching underpins everything that we do at the Radcliffe School. We are absolutely passionate as teachers to give children the best possible learning experience that we can, and so that they make the best possible progress to achieve their personal best, as has already been alluded to today. And the reason for this is that various research that has taken place shows that great teaching is truly the most important thing that we can do as an educational establishment to improve student attainment. And we really live by that every day. So absolutely passionate about the students' experience in the classroom. Now, some of the policies that we follow in our lessons at school can be seen on the slide above. And so I'm just going to guide you briefly through these. So you may be aware of something called PROUD, which is what we encourage students to do in order to make their work and their presentation really legible, really clear. This is because, obviously, in examinations, if students write something that is illegible or isn't clear, they may lose marks. And also, it's really important for future work and future life that we do encourage students to present things neatly. So that's one thing that we encourage in all our lessons. A second thing is teacher feedback. So your child will regularly get feedback from us as teachers. This might be verbal in a lesson. It might be slightly delayed following a piece of work, or more formal following a summative assessment such as a PPE exam, as was discussed before. But they will regularly get feedback, and that will be acted upon to give them the best learning experience possible. Self and peer assessment is also really important to us in school, and I'm sure you know that we ask that students come with a red pen for this. This is a part of every single lesson, and we do make sure that students regularly check their work. After that, so after a teacher assessment or a self-assessment, we would encourage students to do MAD time, which is our Make a Difference time, in Blue Pen, to act on the feedback given, understand that, and then move forward in their learning. We've then got learning at home, as I'm sure you're aware, with our apps sat on a regular basis and make sure that they're completing it. And finally, literacy, which will be talked about later by my colleague, Miss Hamilton. So in terms of lesson structure at our school, what do you expect? What should a student expect? So lessons are carefully planned to deliver the curriculum, and we are very passionate about offering adaptations to offer both challenge and support to all students. So obviously for a lot of subjects at Key Stage 4, as Miss Catlow said, students will be in setted classes. However, for option subjects and for some other lessons, it is truly mixed ability. But we're passionate as teachers to make sure that, as I said, we adapt our learning to so that every child in there can make the maximum possible progress. We also follow the accelerated learning cycle, and the reason for this is that research shows again that this is the best way to enable students to make progress. So all lessons will include a connect phase, an activate, demonstrate, and a consolidate. Students in their lessons will always be sat in a seating plan unless it's a practical subject such as PE and they're moving around, and that supports a cohesive school community. And teachers are really encouraged to think about the placement of students in lessons to really ensure maximum progress, which they do. Always at the start of lessons, staff will be at the door to greet students in a really positive manner, because for us, building relationships with students is key. As we said, it's not just about academic results, it's about the wider development of students in our care. And the protected learning system, so that's our behaviour system, is always needed effectively and consistently. And finally, and this is where you come in, students need to arrive equipped for the lesson. So making sure that they have that equipment ready, so different coloured pens, pencils, ruler, etc., so that they can achieve in that lesson. Now, something that's new this year, which I do just want to draw your attention to, is classroom climates. Now, we've introduced these with the aim of supporting students to develop their oracy skills further. And the reason for this is that research shows that developing students' oracy skills and their ability to speak clearly and coherently has a significantly positive impact on student attainment, both verbal and written. So it's something which will help them, again, achieve their personal best. So what are classroom climates? So these are something that helps us understand in the classroom how students and teachers should be behaving. So we've got three classroom climates, and therefore teacher talk, class discussion, paired work, and silent work. And I'm just going to guide you through these because the students have been getting used to these over the past week or so. So I'll explain to you how these work. So classroom climate one is when a teacher might be explaining a new concept to the class, so actually delivering and teaching the class. So during this time, we say that one voice only should be heard, so that's the teacher, that students should focus on the speaker and that we should see good listening. So for example, by tracking the speaker as they're talking, that they should listen very carefully and be calm and respectful. And during that phase, you may also see students note-taking. Moving on to classroom climate two, this is where we are really talk and they develop talking either in pairs or groups. This is where students will have the opportunity to share ideas and ask questions. And, you know, you really may feel a buzz in the classroom at this point of a lesson if you're in classroom climate two. So students are enthusiastic to talk and share with each other. And finally, classroom climate three would be again in silence or very, very quiet, but it's where students are putting into practice in writing what they have learnt. So potentially during the demonstrate and consolidate phases of the lesson, where students are working alone, having that space to think, where they're being challenged, able to show that resilience because they might find something difficult and make connections within their learning. So your students and your children might have actually talked about this at home, how we're using this language of classroom climates. So that's just to explain to you what they're about. And the final one from me, if you don't have this already, is just about the MyCast app. So if you're not aware, this is a free app which can give you lots of information about your child at school. So it provides updates on attendance, behaviour, important documents. Also, you've got your student timetable and the school calendar. So there is a link to that on our website or there's a QR code up there. But I would really encourage you to get that app because it will help you in terms of your communication between school and home. Okay, I will now pass over to Miss Arnold, who's going to talk to you about revision strategies. Thank you.
Good afternoon, or should I say good evening. The little yellow little part there, make every minute count. For some students coming to the Radcliffe School in year 10 and year 11 in particular, and I will go on to them very, very clearly. Now, we have very, very high expectations in our school, and we are trying as much as we can to make our students and our learners in particularly resilient and independent. And I will go on through a few opportunities in a minute. Now, we are not just preparing students for our year 10 assessments, our PPEs, and our final exams in year 11 over them 2 years. We're thinking about further education, higher education, getting a job, getting an aspirational career, and a long-term career or long-term job. One thing that I've put on there is about taking personal responsibility. If we are asking students to be resilient and independent, it's about them taking responsibility for themselves and creating some good habits. And we talked a little bit tonight about home learning. Home learning is crucial, and if any of your children tell you that they've not got home learning, they are lying to you. They will be getting regular homework. Obviously, in the first couple of weeks, it's not going to be given out as much, but eventually, we will be giving homework out on a regular basis, and it is on Satchel 1. Down the line for year 10s, we're going to be moving to teams that we're going to try out at some point this year. Now, when people start thinking about their subject strengths and weaknesses and start revising, some students will straight away will start revising for their strongest subjects, subjects that they enjoy. But we really need to be thinking about, right, what are our weaker subjects? in the subjects that you may be good at, you may have topics that you really, really need to delve into a little bit deeper and think about. So these are some highlights to be thinking about to talk about with your children at home. Thinking about a study timetable. So this is not just about year 11s, and it's not just in the run-up to our year 11 final assessments and our final exams. It's about now for our year 11s and getting ourselves ready for our PPEs. Year 10s in particular, you have your assessments every half term, assessments on a termly basis, and you'll have your PPEs at the end of the year to be thinking about. Have you got a timetable? And for a lot of us, the answer will be no. But in PLG, we'll be looking at putting a timetable together. That will change as we go through the year because different subjects will need more revision than others. Studying at home is a big thing. Some students may not have the space at home or the quiet space at home to study or to do their home learning. We have plenty of opportunities in school. The library is a very quiet place at break times and dinner times and even after school. And we have options for morning at breakfast club and different things during the day, dinner time especially and after school. We have revision guides in school, and that is not just for year 11s. That is for every single subject that we buy in as a school to keep the cost a little bit lower, and you can buy them and you can have a look on parent pay. Educational websites. When we send out the link to the document about tonight, the presentation, there will be plenty of links in there for different subject areas. But the key thing is to be working with your teachers of your subjects. They will guide you to the best websites for that subject. They will give you the best revision tools to be thinking about. There will be a golden ticket at some point tonight, and there will be a free revision guide at some point that we will talk to you in the library. But one thing I just want to finish on this slide is please utilise the experience of the staff that are teaching your children, whether that's a phone call, whether that's an email, or whether that's waiting until it's parents' evening. But students, your children can be thinking about speaking to the teacher about asking what they can be doing right now. Your 11s to say, Miss, I'm on a grade 3, what do I need to do to get a grade 4? And that teacher is the port of contact to be seeking about, what do I need to do, what topics do I need to work on, enable me to get to the next grade, whether that's a grade 3 to a 4, or whether that's a grade 7 to an 8. Talked about opportunities. There are so many opportunities in our school that is unbelievable, that you will not be aware of, and your children may not be aware of. But one key thing that I wanted to home into, if we are trying to make your children as independent as possible, obviously we may need to prod them a little bit, we need to coach them, we need to train them. Home learning is a key space where your child can complete the home learning for the subject, do a little bit of revision, do a little bit of study, do a little bit of extra work. Don't be dictated to by your teacher to complete extra work. Ask the teacher for a practice paper. Obviously don't go with your friends and ask them for a paper, but do it on your own back. Speak to your PLG, email your teacher privately. They can very easily send you some revision resources. Parents as well, you can do exactly the same. In our PLG sessions in the morning for year 10s and year 11s, we do extra literacy and we do extra numeracy. There will be elements within every half term, twice a half term, where we are going to be looking at study skills in particular. So revision skills, study skills. Because when you get year 11s in particular saying to you, I don't know how to revise, or I still don't know how to revise, then sometimes we take it for granted that you know how to study. So we will be explicitly showing you different strategies of how to revise. In subject areas, English, maths and science, they will be directing you to say, these are the two best strategies we think you should be using for English or maths or science. So we want to do a lot of work around that so nobody can say to us, we don't know how to study. There are a lot of interventions in school that either happen before school, lunchtime, after school. We have revision and coursework sessions for different subject areas that are targeted. And some of you, especially in year 11, will know about our half-term boosters. We will have Saturday boosters to be supporting your students in different subject areas. But one thing that I always say is you need to be able to be taking these opportunities. We stand up in assembly and tell them timetables of what's on certain days, but we cannot force you to go. It is up to you to think, right, I need to be really thinking about my coursework options. My NEA is coming up in year 10 or year 11. They are the subject areas that I need to be going doing at dinner time or after school. And I just want to finish on the final one, which is tutoring. Now we have, it's a lot, it costs a lot of money to the school, but to your child it is free. And we use an external company called TLC Live, if you want to do a little bit of research. We offer students and your child 10 hours, so it's one hour a week, and it's at home. So 1 hour a week, for example, it might be 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, or 6 o'clock on a Tuesday, and you will meet with a tutor and go through English or maths. It cannot be both because of the money that we've got, and the priority is year 11. Now, if you are interested in tutoring, I'll advertise in assemblies as well, Mrs. Radcliffe is the one that you're going to sign up to. She was normally based in the MFL PPA room. If you want to put your name down and you want to get a little bit more information about it, there is a piece of paper at the front of school near the reception area. Just write your name, your RAD number and your PLG and we'll get back to you. But please, please make sure you are taking every single opportunity that's given to you. Ask the teachers for advice and make every single minute count. And I'll just hand you over to the next person, which is Mr. Watson, who's the curriculum leader for science.
Been warned not to speak for too long, so we'll skip the jokes. Right, the science curriculum is really complicated, especially when I'm speaking to half of you in year 10, half of you in year 11, some of you are doing combined science, which is one qualification, and some of you are doing the separate sciences, which is a different qualification. But this is probably the most useful format to have a look at what your student is going to be doing. So if you're in year 10, you are going to be studying the paper ones. Those are the ones on the left. And that's what you're going to be covering. If you're in year 11, you are going to be learning the paper twos on the right and going back and revising the year 10 content as well for the exams. All right. And split up like that is probably the best way to visualize this. Now, we do put this into every student's book. So if you, I see people taking photographs and making notes here, grab their science book and it'll be written down in there and you can see what they need to do, because your child will come back and say, oh yeah, I'm doing physics today in science. And if they're in year 10, they'll be doing that physics one and they'll either be doing energy, electricity, the particle model, or they'll be doing atomic structure, and that's what they'll be doing. And that's the easiest way to work it out. So because you can look in the book, skip through these, what exactly the same, but you can see it's just split for each year. We do a lot of assessment in science. We're not shy about that, but it does get a bit involved in places, and there's a couple of really, really good reasons for that. We do an awful lot more with assessments than we ever used to do. We use them in a lot of different ways. At the end of every topic, your student will do a test. The simplest way, rather than sort of getting bogged right down in the detail for this, is expect your student, if you're doing combined science, to have one at the end of every half term. That's how it works out. The separate sciences can be a little bit different because of the three separate subjects that they're actually doing. They work together a little bit differently. But what we're looking at then for the end of the year 10 would be PPE exams in the same block as everybody else, B1 and C1 for the students, because that's the only units that they'll have actually completed, so that's the only full exams. The separate sciences by then will have also done the physics as well. But if you look at that, you can see it's the paper ones, which are the ones that we said earlier is the content that they will have covered. With year 11, slightly bigger, so the PPEs there are bigger. The combined science will do four papers, all the ones, and they'll have finished B2 by that point. And the separates will be doing the B1, C1, P1 paper. You will get that information given to you, so I wouldn't worry about trying to remember it all now. It will be given, you'll be told it in plenty of time, and your students will be made aware of what's going on. But assessment isn't just sort of waiting for these big exams. Every part through the unit, we do these things called green sheets. I'll be honest, we stole them off maths. The idea is there that we can check. It's a check for us, really, for us to look at the students, see what they can do, see what they can't do. And if I'm marking this for my students halfway through the point, and I can see none of them know the difference between a light microscope and an electron microscope, then it was probably my fault and I need to go back over it again. And that's what it's there for, to pick up areas where students don't know the things that we expect them to know, and we can go back and have a look, give them another chance. Same thing then at the end of the unit. So at the beginning and every unit, you should see those appearing in your children's books. and be able to see how they're progressing and how they're making progress. One of the things, just whilst we're talking about assessment, it's really one of the key decisions that we in science have to make that almost no other subject has to do, is that idea about tiering. We choose whether your student goes on to the higher tier or the foundation tier. As a simple rule of thumb for you, if your student is achieving grade fives, we'll put them onto the higher tier. If they're struggling to reach a grade five, we'll put them onto the foundation tier. And that's roughly where the break works. And if I get an awful lot of parents through the years then saying, oh, can my child go onto the higher tier? Strangely, it's always that way around. If they can I do the higher tier? And the answer will always be, if they start getting grade fives, then the answer is yes. And then we start looking at, okay, what do we need to do to achieve those grade fives? All right. So that's what that conversation will look like. Homework, this is dead easy. And again, we've stolen this off maths as well. We bought a program called Sparks Science. You should have already had an email. You should have had an email yesterday saying your son or your daughter has had homework. You should have got a message. Every Monday, it sends out a message to everybody in school saying, you've got science homework. Every child in school gets their science homework on a Monday. We've set it all up centrally so the teachers can't even forget. It's done for the year already. If you didn't get it, just let your child know to have a word with the teacher and we'll just check the settings. I did see a couple of people shaking their heads there. And we'll make sure that works. But your child will have science homework set every Monday morning at 9 o'clock and it's due the next Monday. It's one of these intelligent learning systems. So what it'll do is it might start off that it's quite easy, but it learns how well your child does. And it learns what they get right and what they get wrong, and it sort of repeats the things that they're getting wrong, and it will get harder for them if they're doing it too quickly and things like that. All right, so it's a really, really good system. It's all online. It does not replace revision and things like that, but it's a really, really nice system, and we really like it. That's what it estimates, but it might take a couple of weeks before it gets the pitch right for your individual child. If they're doing the separate sciences, we've set up 60 minutes, but it is a blend then of all the physics, the chemistry, and the biology. So because that's three subjects, they get a little bit longer. You should see literacy in science being absolutely explicit and clear. What you're looking for there are pink sheets. So if you see anything on a pink sheet, that's us trying to support our students with literacy. It's a real problem for a lot of our students, the amount of specialist language in science. Partly it's the actual science words themselves, they're not easy, but also we've got a range of other things that we want them to know. So every time that they get we've actually combined these now into the exams, so it's very, very slightly different from what you're seeing here. So for the B1, your students will get a little pink booklet that again is glued into their book so they can't miss it. And onto that there is all the technical language that they will need for the unit. So it's like just a glossary that they can refer to at home, a dictionary that they can just see what those words mean. They can check any spellings, anything like that. But we go further than that, because one of the issues that students have a lot of problems with in science is the use of command words. The exam boards think they've been really helpful to the students by using specific words to mean very specific things to tell the students what to do. Unfortunately, not all the students know what those words mean, and so answer the questions not exactly as the exam board want them to do. So we've included there all the command words, or at least some of the common command words, so the students can get used to using them. I've just marked some of my Year 11 exam papers there, and the question asked the students to evaluate, which is the word at the bottom, and loads of them forgot that means that they needed to put a sort of a conclusion at the end of it. And so it's because they didn't go back and check their pink literacy sheets. And then the final thing that we're doing here as well is, it used to be called this How Science Works, it still is, but basically, again, some of the science skills words that we expect them just to pick up and use, and they will get a copy of those for every exercise book that they get. So they've always got their that there to act as a reference. And just to finish off, year 11s, we are doing some work with revision guides in class this year, thanks to Mr. Craig's generous funding offer. But if you want a revision guide at home, as you've already been told, you can buy them through Parent Pay. We think they're cheaper and it's cheaper and easier to do that. Right, that's me finished. So, Mr. Kirk, I'll exit this way.
There we go. Hi, good evening, everyone. Nice to see so many familiar faces. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the English curriculum at year 10 and year 11. But more importantly, probably the reason why a lot of you are here, I'm sure, is to wonder what you can do to really support your child. So I'm going to go through that in a little bit more detail. So the English curriculum, a bit more straightforward than science, language and literature classes. Now, that's the big change from Key Stage 3. So if you've got a child that's in year 10, that's the big difference you might notice if you look at their timetable. There's no longer an English class. It's English language and English literature. And that's to make sure that we can teach the key components of both exam, both qualifications, and to make sure we dedicate enough curriculum time to make sure that your child maximises their performance in both. So you can see that. The language curriculum is really, really odd. I mean, the language paper, the language GCSE, is incredibly important GCSE for your child going forward in their future. But it's really, really odd in the fact that the curriculum is the exam paper. So we've designed our curriculum around teaching those key skills, those key component knowledge that your child's going to need in order to succeed. And the main focus is language analysis. In year 10 anyway, language analysis, looking at viewpoints and perspectives, but also creative writing as well, which is so, so, so important and really is something that your child can practice at home and develop and refine. Literature, probably a little bit more straightforward. It's the text that we do. If you've got any older children as well, they've not changed too much, so they can reuse any revision guides or any notes that their older brothers or sisters have had in the past. So inspector calls in year 10, Macbeth, obviously Shakespeare after that, and then poetry, Power and Conflict, before moving on to A Christmas Carol and Unseen Poetry. We do build into some revision time, so the end of year 11, although it is quite a short period, but obviously that time goes incredibly, incredibly quickly, so we just need to be a little bit careful that we utilise it properly. We've obviously got PPEs, which have been mentioned already. You've got the dates for those, and obviously they'll be published in terms of the actual key dates for each exam. I think in terms of what we do in English, we don't tend to use the green sheets in the same way. Our assessments are a little bit more long form. So because we separate the topics, the GCSEs, language and literature, they take a longer time to teach. So the assessments are a little bit more spaced out. But again, we use that data, whether it's question level data or whether it's essay skills and literature text, to really tailor our teaching and make sure that any gaps are filled. We've got, in terms of what we do in classes, there's lots of things that I'm sure all the teachers will be talking to you about. Multiple choice quizzes, low stakes quizzes, targeted questions, memory platform to really build in that culture of revision amongst our students, just to make sure that they're recalling previous knowledge, which obviously is incredibly important. And just a reminder, really, that the GCSE, particularly if you've got a child that's in year 11, the GCSEs begin on the 11th of May in 2026, or the main full cohort exams. And that feels like a long time away, but trust me, as someone who's been teaching for 13 years now, that goes in an instant. So just be really, really aware, especially if you've got a child in year 11, that's going to be around the corner. So just really making sure that the sort of hard work starts now. In terms of what our homework, again, we don't have a nice fancy AI system like science and maths. It doesn't really work like that in English. We've looked at Bedrock. If you've got a child that's in year 10 year 9 last year, it was a mixed bag, and we didn't think it was appropriate really for our Key Stage 4 students. So I think the message really I want to give to everybody here, and I think you've probably heard it a few times, is you can't, if you've got a child that's in year 10, it's not too early to start revision. And if you've got a child in year 11 who maybe hasn't been revising as much as they should have done, it's not too late as well. It makes such a difference you know, I've been doing this job for a long time, and there's people sat there who've been doing it for a long time as well. The students that do the extra, the students that send, you know, their teachers the extra essay, or, you know, just do a little bit more, they are the ones invariably who come out with grade eights and grade nines in English. It's, you know, it's so, it doesn't matter what class they're in, who their teacher is, you know, it's said before, it's not a tiered paper. Your kid could be in any set and still end up with a grade nine, and they can get it, they can get the eights, they can get the nines if they work, if they really, really work hard, and if they really, really want it. In terms of what that looks like, you can do things like, you can do time questions at home, that can be difficult, but even things like taking phones away for, might be difficult, but taking phones away for a couple of hours just to make sure they're really, really focused with that revision. Revision guides, sorry, have been mentioned already, they're available on Parent Pay. They are much cheaper if bought through the school. Obviously, I know a lot of you will have older sons and daughters who can pass them on, and that's fine as well. In terms of homework as well, we do booklets for literature texts, so they're really, really useful, and a good way for you booklet is looking like, and they can show you, and again, you can have that conversation. In English literature, learning quotations, lines of inquiries for any possible questions are really, really important. In terms of what we do as well in school, we have revision, which is going to be every week for between 3 and 4. That'll be for year 11 students, and that will be communicated for you. We have tutoring for excellence, where we use data based on exams and predicted grades to look at students who have got particular gaps in knowledge, work with them in smaller groups with other English teachers just to make sure those gaps are filled. We do boosters on half term, so obviously that data be confirmed, but just be aware of that. We're having 7 to 9 lectures. We're going to bring those back to really boost at the top level, and again, got time to be confirmed with that. And we also have conference days along with maths, where we work with students, we take them off timetable, we do some very, very focused work based on the exam. So there is really a wide suite of options that we have for our students. And we target them, and we base that on the students who need that the most. I think when I was looking at the intervention list for last year, there was nearly 70 students that we were able to intervene with in English, which, you know, is a good percentage as well, and it was effective as well in terms of boosting their grades. So in terms of what you can do, I said at the start, we'd circle back to that. I think check your child is completing homework every week. I think Miss Arnold said if your child says they've not got homework, they're probably not telling the truth. So just making sure you're on top of that. Ensure your child is attending after school revision in English and other subjects. We will communicate that date to you, and we will let you know if your child is attending or not. And then it's kind of up to you then, really, what you do with that information. Like I said to you, you can't start early enough. If you're in year 10 or you've got a child in year 10, you cannot start this early enough. 2 years is a long time, it's a long course. The more you do now, the less you'll have to do when it comes to year 11. It makes a massive difference. If your child's in year 11 and you know that they've maybe not taken year 10 as seriously, don't worry. This is the fresh start that they need sometimes, and really to make that clean break and make sure that they are really pushing themselves. If they're doing that already, then brilliant. They can just carry on with that. Revision guides, like I said, are available. There is also in English, there's lots of stuff on the internet. There's lots of stuff on YouTube to help with language and literature. And some of it's really, really good, but I would really caution against anybody who says, watch this video and you'll get a grade 9 in English, because from my experience, that's not how it works. So have the conversations with your children. They'll know more about YouTube than you do. They know more about YouTube than I do, for sure. And look at what it is that they're looking at. And again, just watch the videos with them if you have the time. You know, ask them questions, they should be able to answer them, and they can be really useful, as well as the anything that we do in class. And just a reminder, the first port of call, if you've got any questions, should always be your child's teacher. I think one of the few things that came out of COVID that was positive is this, an easier kind of communication between parents and teachers. You have our email addresses, we are always here to respond to you. Any questions at all, fire an email across and we'll get back to your teacher quickly, and it's more convenient. So we're all always kind of really happy to hear from parents and answer any questions that you might have. So yeah, thank you. So I'm gonna pass on to Mrs. Richardson in maths.
Hi Hi everyone, I'm Mrs. Richardson and I'm going to talk to you today about what maths looks like here at the Radcliffe School and what the year ahead or the next 2 years ahead looks like for your children. Is it moving? Yeah, there we go. Okay, so in year 10, as in year 7, 8 and 9, we follow the White Rose scheme of learning, which is fully aligned with the national curriculum. It's all about mastery of small steps, a great emphasis on fluency, reasoning and problem solving, and it builds on the learning from Key Stage 3. Now, as you can see, there isn't really much difference between the topics covered at the foundation tier and the topics covered in the higher tier. The difference is the depth and the complexity. But I can assure you, regardless of what tier your children are sitting in maths, we will make sure that we will challenge all our students to make sure they make the best possible progress. As you can see as well from the screen, in half term four, we're building some PPE prep, okay, to make sure we prepare your sons and daughters for those pre-public exams that they will be sitting in half term five. In year 11, here we go. In year 11, again, we're following the White Rose scheme of learning to ensure we've got that continuity. And the scheme of learning finishes in half term four. And then we've built time in for revision to ensure we prepare your sons more PE prep, because we have two PPE windows. And we have actually started our PPE preparations now. So we encourage you to encourage your children to start their revision now. And we'll be doing a lot more work on that in class to make sure your sons and daughters know how to revise at home. The exam board that we use in maths is EdExcel, and it covers a wide range of topics, number, algebra, ratio, and so on. The qualification is assessed through three examination papers. So you have your paper one, which is non-calculator, and then you have your two calculator papers, which are paper two and paper three. So on that note, just a little plug, please can we ensure your children have their equipment, especially their calculators, as you can see, we need to be practicing that calculator use straight away, because two of those papers need a scientific calculator. Throughout the year, students will take part in informal assessments. So these are intended to highlight strengths as well as areas for development, and it allows us as staff to plan the best support moving forward. And they're done on a three-weekly cycle in the form of green booklets. So whilst they had green sheets at Key Stage 3, we have introduced green booklets at Key Stage 4, so they're a bit more, meaty, so to speak. Okay, so in terms of summative assessments, in half term five, we have our PPEs in year 10, and there will be another summative assessment around half term three. In year 11, as you can see, there's a lot more PPE windows. We have two sets of PPEs, the first being in half term two, and then another set in half term three on the screen also. Home learning, just like in science, we use Sparks. We've been using this now for many years, so your children should be used to using their home learning on Sparks. Nothing has changed, so all their logins are the same. So if they say they can't log on, they can. They can even reset their passwords at home themselves. What we love about Sparks is there is videos. So what we don't want is students coming to us saying, I've really tried and I've only got 2%, but we can see they've not watched the video. Okay, what we expect is students to watch the video, to have a go at it on more than one occasion, and to spend at least that 1 hour on their home learning each week. As with science, it's a very clever system, and it is personalised to suit the needs of your sons or daughters. And we set it on Wednesday, and it's due in on the following Wednesday. Now, we do have lunchtime club every lunchtime on the maths corridor if they need to come and do their homework in school, and there will always be a maths teacher in there to help as well. And please can we ensure we have your current email address, because then we can email you and let you know if they've not done the homework, which is a really good tool. In terms of literacy, we do have a huge focus on keywords and vocabulary within lessons, and this is embedded into our daily practice. We have weekly retrieval activities to strengthen retention of mathematical language. We regularly practice worded problem-solving questions to make sure that the literacy isn't a barrier to answering those questions in the GCSE. And we encourage students to explain their reasoning verbally in written form. We've got lots of opportunities in the maths department here at the Radcliffe School. We have after-school revision, which will be starting very soon. We will communicate the days and times to you in the next couple of weeks. We have school holiday boosters. So every school holiday, except maybe the Christmas holiday, we run a booster, okay? And last year they were very well attended, with sort of 80 plus students attending each booster. Please can we encourage, when we decide on when those boosters are going to be run and we communicate that to you, please can we encourage you to encourage your sons and daughters to sign up, because they really are really useful sort of extra revision with maths teachers to help improve their grades. We have lots of targeted intervention sessions, and we work closely with English on that. We have practice papers available, revision guides available for you to purchase on Parent Pay. And I just want to emphasise the importance of online resources. One in particular, a new one this year, which we're going to promote in maths, is Hannah Kettle Maths. And every week, Hannah Kettle, who's this amazing mathematician, will be going live on YouTube, going through a different exam paper each week. And again, if students don't know, well, where should I start my revision, that is a perfect way to start, and doing an extra exam paper each week will really help improve their grades. So how parents can support: make sure they have the correct equipment. It's really important in maths. And what we noticed this year was some of the questions that our students didn't do as well on, perhaps, where a year 11 student brings their equipment to each lesson and has it out on the desk, so it doesn't become a barrier to their learning and to answering those questions in the exam. Check that homework is completed regularly. Ensure attendance at revision and booster sessions, and start revision early. Small chunks of revision is better than cramming last minute. And encourage a positive approach. Remind them that practicing maths regularly is the best way to learn. Thank you. I'll pass you over to Mrs. Hamilton.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about reading, and we've heard a lot tonight about the things that you can do for your children at home. And as a Radcliffe School, we strongly believe that reading is the golden ticket to success for all of our students. You might have heard me say this before, I say it a lot. It's because it's true, and it's because it's really, really important. Because if we want our children to grow up knowing things about the world around them, and we want to grow up being able to communicate and to speak and to be able to, as Miss Catlow said, have a seat at every table and have something to contribute, we need them to learn the vocabulary in order to do so. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about how encouraging your child to read over the next 2 years can boost their exam grades. So why should you get them to read? Well, we know that 25% of 15-year-olds have a reading age of 12 or under. And the exam papers are written with a reading age of 16 and 17. So if you have a reading age of 12, you're not going to be able to read the question on the paper to be able to answer it. One in eight disadvantaged children don't own a single book. And we don't think that's okay. So we need all children to have books and be able to read books. Children who are weak readers won't just struggle in English or in RS or in the literacy subjects, but they're going to struggle as much in maths and in science at GCSE if they are weak readers. Actually, there's a stronger correlation to maths and to science than there is to English, which is mind-blowing. So students are less able to learn in school if they don't have sufficient reading skills. And in the words of the DfE, the new GCSEs, which are not so new anymore, but when they introduced them in 2017, they said they are more demanding and they include more wordier questions. And so we really need to encourage our children to read and read more, so they can raise their reading age, so they can access all the work they need over the next 2 years. On top of that, there are loads of benefits of reading. Children who read books more than once a week by age 16 gain higher GCSE results. 19% of readers say that reading stops them from feeling lonely, so that's a benefit for your child as a person. Regular readers feel less stress and depression than non-readers. Studies show that those who read for pleasure have high levels of self-esteem and are better able to cope with difficult situations. It improves our sleep, our life satisfaction, and people who read for 3.5 hours a week, that's just 30 minutes a day, so 2% of your day, have a 17% higher life expectancy than those that don't. Reading makes you live longer. There you go. So we should be encouraging our children to read. And so what we've started to do this year, we bought two reading interventions. You might think that we're on like Sparks Reader. And Sparks Reader is about reading and understanding. So when we give them a revision guide or a textbook or a piece of text, just reading it is one thing. Reading it and understanding it is the next thing. And so Sparks Reader encourages them to read and understand. Every single student in school will have access to this. So even if they don't have a library lesson, which they don't in year 10 and 11, they can log on their phone, they can log on a tablet, they can log on a school computer. If you can get onto Sparks Maths, you can get onto Sparks Science, you can get onto Sparks Reader, they're all the same, all the buttons at the top, and you can switch through them. And it encourages them to read a bit of a book that's within their age range, and then it asks them questions to check they've understood it. And then it makes them go back if they haven't, and they read and comprehend and read and comprehend, and it builds their comprehension levels, which will help in all subjects. We've also brought in Lexia Power Up. Now, some of our students need a little bit of extra help. This will help them with their grammar, with their reading, with their comprehension, with their spelling, and some students will be selected to come along in their PLG time to boost the gaps in their knowledge. It will assess what they should know by the time they hit Key Stage 4, and if they don't know it, it teaches them online those individual things. So we're going to be selecting students. We actually already have the list. The letters should go out this week. It's adaptive, it's reflective, and it helps you make rapid progress because it just targets in on what you don't know. And if we can build those literacy skills, we build that reading comprehension, they're going to go into their lessons more able to access that. So what we're doing at school, we're reading with them in the PLGs, we're doing literacy with them in PLGs, we might be taking them out for Lexia, we're offering things like Sparks with their lessons, as you've heard from English, Maths and Science, but it's across the board. We're giving them access to the library at break and lunchtime, and we're making sure that all these interventions are with the right students, so the people that need the help are getting the power up. What I really encourage you to do is to encourage them to read, to support our interventions, maybe even read with them. When your student is in year 10, your child's in year 10 and 11, you're not gonna read with them like I read with my four-year-old. I know you're not. But maybe you wanna read the same book, or maybe you wanna read a page to them and they can read it back, or get them to read to you so you can kind of check that they're kind of getting it. Or you can look over the shoulder and ask them a question. What's that word mean? Or do you understand what's going on that page? Can you explain it to me? Take an active involvement in their reading and make sure they're reading. And if they are not reading, get them a book, or send them into school to get a book, or get them onto Sparks Reader on their phone or on their tablet so that they are reading, because we know it is the golden ticket. We know it is going to improve their outcomes. And if they're not reading at all, it's really hard, I get that, to go from reading nothing to reading 30 minutes a day. So start with five. So sit there for 5 minutes and do it for five. And then a week up it to 10. And increase it and increase it. And really just model it. So they don't necessarily know how to do this unless we show them. We have to understand that sometimes our young people don't know how to do this for themselves. And so as grown-ups, we have to stand in the gap. And we know that it's really good for them. And we can see that it's really good for them, but they don't want to do it. And so you need to be the grown-up with all of these things, with revision, with their hard work in class, with their reading, that stands in the gap and explains to them why they need to do it. We need to motivate them, because they may not motivate themselves. And so you now know how important reading can be for them. So you need to stand in that gap and encourage them to do it, because all the resources are available and it will really improve their outcomes. If you do have any concerns or questions about the intervention, or you can't get onto Sparks, contact school and we'll sort it out. And just lastly, I'd like to invite you, if you want to come up to the library on level 3 straight after this session, there are some light refreshments and some golden tickets, and those golden tickets you can give them to your child and they can bring them into school for a free revision guide. Thank you.
Thank you so much for attending tonight and for listening so attentively. I appreciate that's a huge amount of information that you've had all in one go. In the next few days, these slides will go online and there will be an audio recording attached, either from tonight if we've worked the magic, and if not, we will re-record the audio on top of the slides. If you do have any questions, as you've been told tonight, your first port of call, if it's around curriculum, are your class teachers, but also you do have your year contacts, your year managers and assistant year managers for year 10 and for year 11. We'll be more than happy to direct you in the right to the right place, or to support you in what you need from us. As I did mention earlier, we really would encourage you to give us some feedback. We are looking at different ways of running this event or different events that will give you what you need. So please do just take a minute to use that code and fill that in. It will be really quick, but it will really help us. And then, as Mrs. Hamilton said, this is the end of the formal part of tonight, but we would invite you up to the library. There are refreshments, a couple of days. They will be able to order a CGP revision guide, and we will provide that for them in exchange for that ticket. We hope tonight has been informative. As I say, I appreciate it's a lot of information. We will be hanging around at the end of it. We'll be up in the library, so please feel free to come and talk to us and ask us some questions. But thank you so much for attending.